you know, we're already expats, so there's already that layer of being separate from your family. And of course, New Zealand is just way out here in the middle of the ocean, so it does feel really far away sometimes. And then there's another layer of being, you know, kind of not like the other, and your race is different than the people around you. And then there's another layer of being a woman of color. So there's a lot of layers.
You are listening to the Hustle and Glow podcast with Francesca Alexander. Hey everyone. So today is my Saturday the 7th. In the States, it is probably evening, Friday the 6th. And we still don't know. And I did, weeks and weeks ago, I did this amazing conversation with Sandra Washington, who was lovely enough to come on my podcast. She lives here in Auckland, New Zealand, but is from the States, and you're gonna get to know her a little bit. And she was absolutely the exact person I needed to get through another wave of racial trauma. And I talk a little bit about this, and really what I am discovering is that any sort of trauma, racial trauma, I think for women of color in business, it seems to stop the progression of where we're going. And I wanna make this year, a couple of actually episodes this year, addressing that. Because what can happen when you're in that space is that we stop in our tracks. We're dealing with trying to function during this trauma. And there's a lot of triggering moments from colleagues, people that say they mean well, and ask the wrong questions and put us in, you know, positions where we have to respond. And it's a lot of work. You know, what I mean about all of that is that the lot of work component is that we have to function while we are being spoke to in a way where we have to explain ourselves. Sometimes it's about bringing those racial receipts and trying to demonstrate, actually, this is why it's affecting me. And we get into this huge spiral, circle, rabbit hole where, quite frankly, this is not serving us. We are already depleted. We are, aside from everything else, this year has been challenging on our immune systems, our hydration, our, you know, everything. I mean, just everything. For me, the word serotonin just kind of popped in my head. Lack of sleep, fear, malaise, that whole deal is so taxing on your system. More so for people of color, especially women of color, it's harder. So I want to be able to create space for that. And Sandra Washington, that's her work. That's what she does. She creates space with that. She also creates this wonderful healing environment with that. And I also want to speak to, what it, on a molecular level, what it actually does to the human body when you're completely always in a state of stress, a state of fear, a state of trying to explain why you should exist on this earth, why you should have those equal opportunities. And it really frays you. Right now, I'm just trying to breathe through this and control. I'm telling you physically right now, I am starting to spiral into that state. I am also grounding myself on purpose with elements around me. It sounds so hippie-ish, but I got my little crystals here. I'm actually sitting in a different type of position where my legs are actually positioned and my feet are flat on the floor. And I'm holding my ground while I'm saying this because it is that serious. In terms of just trying to gain my control back, being a leader in this moment, trying to control what my just my intentions are for this particular podcast. So with all of that said, I'm so excited for you to listen to Sandra Washington and invite you to stay. And also for anyone that needs to hear this, it's okay to be in the state of flux. You are working this through. You are in survival mode. If you haven't progressed in business on where you wanted to be in 2020, there are reasons for that. And we should never, ever judge ourselves while we're in this crazy tornado of emotions and lack of control. And we can do that what we can, but it's still a huge lack of control. And I think right now the heavy thing that's on me is that we are hearing a lot of people say, well, whatever, you know, whatever your politics are, I'm still going to, you know, be there for you, or, you know, don't let that get in the way. And I am here to say proudly that that is not what I want to do. So if you do support the wrong side, and I don't even have to say it, we all know where the wrong side is. That means that you're not in alignment with me and what I want to create in my future and who I want there. But aside from that, there is a serious problem here. It's not so much the election, because there has never been a policy in the last 4 years that actually came to fruition. There's no healthcare, there's no infrastructure, there's no anything that actually came out of this. So there's nothing there to say, well, let's talk politics. This is not a conversation of politics. This is a conversation about morality, white supremacy, and human rights and human equality for everyone. And quite frankly, that is the trauma. That's the stress. That's what we're all feeling. This waiting every single day where we feel like, oh, we're going to get a result today, and then carrying on the next is actually amplifying that stress. So I know that this is great. I'm going to try to actually publish this as soon as I can. Sandra has been very patient with me waiting for this. So thank you so much, Sandra. But enough of this bit. I want to introduce you to Sandra. She's amazing. This is Sandra Washington, episode, ironically, number 45. Welcome, everybody. I'm really excited about this guest. Very excited since I saw Sandra's Instagram page and found out that she was another American living in New Zealand. So definitely started watching her, and what she had out there was really inspirational, especially during this time. But what I'll do is I'm going to introduce you now to Sandra Washington, who is a spiritual well-being coach and mentor. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Very good. I'm excited because I think in this time of 2020, I don't even know what to call this year or this particular time point, because it keeps changing. I mean, even after this weekend, there's a huge change in America and things are happening. They're different. But what I liked about you is that you really are real about how you're feeling at the time. Which I really appreciate. It's for me, I need to see a bit more realness and less, you know, fluffy, perfect images. And,
yeah,
I really liked your perspective. So just tell me a little bit about your content, what you're doing, what your intention is for this season.
Oh, that's the perfect question to ask, because I just did a little bit of reflecting about this very thing. Just like everybody else, this year has definitely turned my life upside down in a lot of different ways, and it has also helped me to, you know, integrate the things that I find really true to my heart and really important in more more meaningful and tangible ways. So I'm looking at it as, yes, a very chaotic and painful year in a lot of ways, but also a year that helped me clarify and ground a little bit. So, I'm actually just in the middle of creating and delivering a course right now that is all about creating new, fresh energy for next year. And just kind of in my own life, I've been looking at what has been serving me really well this year in terms of my my outlook, my mindset, the practices and rituals that I use that support me, and then what I'm really ready to let go for good. Because a lot of things have been taken away from us this year, but some of those things I don't really want to integrate back into my life. So I've been making a lot of intentional reflective notes and moves in directions that support the things that I do want to keep and let go and leave behind the things that I'm ready to be finished with.
So that's something that actually I really am trying to push through to get to that next level of planning and really getting to where I'd like to go. And you, and for me, what you said absolutely resonates. That there are some things that I don't want to, you know, come back, since, you know, things that we have lost, and just really shaping it to be a better, I suppose, lifestyle, a better way of life. One of the things that I keep getting stuck on is when I get into that, either it's a political spiral or a social justice spiral. I tend to get there and I get really, really stuck in that space where the anger is almost debilitating, where I can't move forward. And so I'm just wondering, how do you move through that?
You know, a constant daily practice, absolutely. And I think as a woman of color, you have to have some pretty strong boundaries around when and how you engage with what's going on the global scale. I think for me personally, I want to be involved. I want to be active. I want to be supportive of my fellow people of color out there. But I also know that I need self-nourishment in order to do that. So part of what I've learned this year about myself is that kind of we each have roles. We have these roles in society, and not all of us can be the ones that are out there on the front lines and doing the work on a, you know, really public, open basis. And there's a spectrum for all of us in terms of that. And so I've really learned that for me to be engaged in the best way, it's to support people in coming back to their truth so that they can move into life, into political situations, into racially charged situations, into anything that they face with that connection to their core truths. So I'm seeing that more as my role these days. And then personally, you know, that helps me feel really supported and engaged, is providing that support for the community. And then in terms of moving through emotions, you know, I think we have to just give ourselves a break. I think, again, as a person of color, it is not easy right now. It never has been, and it especially is not right now. And so when you're feeling those feelings of emotion, those like really strong anger, you know, trying to get to the root of where that's coming from and giving yourself a little bit of love and nourishment to whatever the need is, the feeling or the need that is not being met from that emotion. So that's what I do. That's the system that I go through personally, and that might be journaling, that might be through chatting with a friend, that might be through working with a, you know, healer, a therapist, or a coach. And I find that usually there's a root underneath those really, really strong emotions. And there have absolutely been times this year where I felt totally overwhelmed with strong emotions, and giving myself a little bit of grace to find that root, that it doesn't have to be found today. You know, it's sometimes okay to just be in that emotion and experience the anger and the sadness and the frustration.
Yeah. I do recognize that. And I think that, I had a quick phone call with Sandra to see if she'd be interested in doing my podcast. And we got on real quickly. We had all of these little tidbits, and I literally put on sticky notes for today, like things to bring us back to. And one of them was, and this was very triggering for me, is that racism was, in New Zealand, racism sometimes seems to be labeled as an American problem. And my experience here, that's absolutely not the case. It's very subtle here. And I've heard the differences even from news organizations or even on social media, where they've comparative, American racism versus UK racism. And UK is very subtle, very microaggression kind of centric. And, American racism is very much in your face. How do you feel about the culture here? Would you say it's heavily influenced by America, but it's also, very much persuaded by, at least in business, the UK element? Then of course there is the native culture here, the Māori culture. But I'm just wondering, what do you feel like that whole influence is here, and how do you walk through, or have you experienced racism in New Zealand as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely like any Western country that there is absolutely racism here. It's not just an American problem. And yes, I have, experienced some of the same things that I experienced back home, and some different things. And one thing that I also noticed though here is that when I do come across other Black people in New Zealand, there's a really beautiful solidarity that happens, even if it's just passing on the street. There always seems to be a conversation or a hey or a where are you from, and so I do feel that solidarity, and especially during the Black Lives Matter marches earlier this year, to see the Kiwis coming together to support that was really encouraging to me. So I think just like any Western country, it's integrated into the systems of society here, just like it is in America, just like it is in the UK. And there are factions of people, more and more groups of people who are ready to abolish those things. And I suppose I feel a bit of an outsider in some ways still as to how to be involved in the most proactive way here in New Zealand.
Right.
I think I'm an American at heart still, so a lot of my focus is there. But I've also been so inspired by some of the Indigenous groups that do exist here that are already doing amazing work in terms of justice and anti-racism. And I think it really opened my eyes at the Black Lives Matter marches, how much of that work is already happening here in New Zealand. And I'm just really looking to those leaders in the community to guide me as to which direction to go to be more supportive here, as I live here.
That's beautifully said. I love that. I love that, because what we're learning at home too is that, who, and this is especially when you reflect, I'm much older than you are, and we reflect on the women's marches in the 60s and, a conversation between feminists and women of color, Black women, Latino women that were in there, versus the drive with Caucasian women. The concept and the actual end game were different for the groups, and what was united was actually the women of color. And we're knowing now that Black women are the leaders, and we need to absolutely give them room, support them, and also be in queue for whatever it is that they need in that movement, in our movement. It's really, I think it was so beautifully said that you said that here about the Indigenous culture here, which I think it's a new concept just in general. We're not really, we've never talked about that before. And I'm partially Indigenous myself. So it was very moving to hear you say that.
Yeah, it's been spectacular to me. There's been some people who have directed me to the leaders in those communities, and that, you know, the resources are right here in New Zealand. Mm. And I think that's the same thing, you know, again, in everywhere in the world, the resources are here. The people are here who have been doing this work in this community. And it's just our job to go seek those people out, to seek those resources out so that we can do our best to support. You know, I see, you know, myself, again, not as, you know, I want to look to them as how can I best support New Zealand? How can I support the nature? How can I support the community? How can I support the Indigenous people? Because they know best. You know, I can't come in as an outsider and say that. And I think as a Black woman, yes, there's so much oppression that is experienced in my life and in the lives of Black women. And we can also really come together and learn from other communities who are also being oppressed. And to me, that's what's needed, is those connections across communities.
Right. Right. And, you know, this is also kind of, it leads me to the second sort of little sticky note that I had out here. And what I was really concerned at the time that we talked about is that I was seeing people post these very traumatic events that were happening now. I mean, and it's a huge, vast scale. It's from anything from going into a store where we're going to see somebody either not wearing a mask or, and then racially attacking somebody, or the car riding in your neighborhood, like, you know, you don't live here, get out. All of these things, and people are starting to film them almost like they're trying to show other people, this exists, this happens, I'm going to shame you on social media. But what I see and what I feel after I watch this is that it's almost like a boomerang effect. It's very like it charges in the center of me, and I'm so angry and I can't get past it. And then of course the algorithm starts to pick up on what you're watching, so guess what's in your newsfeed now, right? It's just like you're really ensconced in this and you're in it, and it's hard to break out of it. And you know, getting those racial receipts, actually before any of this was happening, before, you know, I think a couple of podcasts I wanted to do, I was collecting news clippings, articles, anything that I heard. I was just collecting everything so I could put on the podcast. So I was doing my form of collecting receipts. What is your take on that?
I mean, from what you're saying, it sounds like boundaries are a really important thing. And I think, you know, again, like I said, in this year has taught me there's an amount that I can engage, and there's an amount that I need to shut it off, and I need to come back to my heart, come back to my essence, and rest. And we all need that. I think that there can be a lot of guilt around needing to be fully active in social justice, you know, communities all the time and 24 hours a day. All of us need rest, and all of us need support, and all of us need to come back to what life is like when social media is turned off. So, I mean, I have mixed feelings about receipts, you know. I think, yeah, hey, this stuff is happening. We, you know, it has been happening. It's nothing new to communities of color, and perhaps it's new to the eyes of some groups of white people and non-Black, Indigenous, or people of color. But I also know that it can re-traumatize, and it can be quite triggering in terms of emotions. I'm thinking of yesterday, I've been quite disconnected. I was in nature for the last week, which is something that I find really important, is taking the time off. And then when I came back, I don't know if you saw the video going around yesterday of the man who works at Versace, who got shot for shopping at Versace and being a Black man. And yeah, I think, you know, what he was talking about is the fear. He wasn't really saying, hey, here's this receipt, everybody go get these cops. He was saying, I was feeling so much fear in this moment. And that really hit me into my core, because of course there's been so many, you know, instances where that little tightness in the chest comes up, and I start to feel the visceral reaction from hearing his story. And in those moments, then I go to do my self practices that help me address my fear and where that fear is coming from and how I can support myself through that fear. And perhaps that's reaching out to somebody else. Perhaps that's doing my own practices, and perhaps that's creating another boundary so that I take a couple of more days off of social media or turn it off for the night, make sure that it's not the first thing that I'm looking at in the morning. There are humans, you know, there's humans underneath all of this distraction and all of this input and all of this stuff that we get every day. And we have to address the humanness of ourselves first. And then I feel like then we can start to put our foot into all that input, all that stuff that is circulating out there. So I don't know how you feel about that, but boundary was the big word that stuck out to me from you telling that story.
That's cool. That's great. I mean, it's just redefining boundaries, right? Because we think that we're good. I mean, and this is like my work, you know, doing social media, creating content and the whole deal. And also getting lost in TikTok too, but I have to actually put boundaries on watching all of it too, because again, the algorithm will pick up to what you're looking at. So it's almost like self-imposed boundaries is what you're referring to. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. You have to make sure, you know, like I can't even get a TikTok. I'm not even going there. I do also think I might be too old for TikTok.
You're absolutely not. There's actually a whole collective group of people in their 50s and 60s. They got it. They understand it. And it's amazing.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's one of my boundaries. So, but yeah, you know, I have Instagram and I have a Facebook for my business, and that's it.
Yeah.
For me, that's as much as I can handle. And I really try to be tuned into myself when I notice that my mind is going crazy and repeating and thinking about the thing I saw yesterday. And I really know I need a personal imposed boundary when the first thing I do in the morning is grab my phone and start flicking through and start being influenced, because that's really what we're doing. Is every time we go onto our social media, we're being influenced. We're opening ourselves up to input from the rest of the world.
Yes.
And so I do want to hear the input from the rest of the world, but I want to do that from a grounded place. I want to do that from a place where I feel ready for it. I feel ready to turn on Instagram. So, you know, it's something that I work on too. You know, there's absolutely weeks that I go by and every morning I look at my phone and then I'm like, you know what, that's enough. I need to change this, because it's not starting my day out in a way where I'm connected to me. It's starting my day out where I might be taking on other people's trauma, you know, really intensely feeling the ancestral trauma that comes up when we watch these videos, or getting angry because there's another video of someone doing something insane, or, you know, I don't listen at all to Trump. So I don't know, that's just me, but I can't listen to a word he says. So, you know, that's another self-imposed boundary, but exploring those. And I do a lot of that work with people in my coaching business is where do you want to put boundaries up, and how do you actually do that?
This is perfect, because this leads me to the question. Tell us how, when we're working with you, like, how does it, you know, from a person of color perspective, or even just what you're offering now, what does that look like? What do you dive into?
Oh, all the good stuff. Depth is one of my core values. So I've never really been one to stick on the surface of things, even in small talk conversations. So we just go deeper than the surface, and that can mean a lot of different things. But people who work with me are going to get a true understanding of all of the intersectionalities of you as a person. And I think that's what sets me apart from a lot of people, because, you know, I do have the experience of being a Black woman in the wellness industry. I have experience of being someone who's not a Lululemon model in the wellness industry. You know, I have a bigger body. I don't really look like typical yogis or spiritual people. And so I understand that it can feel like a very exclusive place, and it can feel like a very unwelcoming place. And so one of the things that pains me a lot is knowing that there are people out there who don't dip their toe into self-exploration because they don't feel welcome to do that. And so in my space, and the whole reason I've stepped out to create this space, is to have it be a welcoming space for everybody, no matter what your background, no matter what your experience is, that I can hold you as you and celebrate you as you, and that we can dive into whatever aspect of life is not feeling aligned for you,
right,
and bring it back into alignment. And alignment to me simply means making sure you're taking actions that are in accordance with your deepest values. And so that's the work I do with people, whether that be through coaching, through yoga, through meditation, through any of the other modalities that I use. We're always seeking to find your truth and then teaching you, guiding you, drawing out the wisdom within you that you already have to take action and take steps in the direction of those values and those inner truths.
That's amazing. And one thing too, what I loved about your Instagram too, and quite frankly your image, is that you look like the best friend. You definitely look like one of my cousins. You look like family. You look like, you know what, like this is familiar. You know, you definitely are radiant, and you have that beauty that's like, I need to get in touch with you. So that was part of the other thing. I think I discovered you on Jane Lowe's Instagram. I think she reposted you, who is has a website called The Yoga Connection, and she's amazing and in herself. But yeah, and she's very much for social justice. And I saw you there, and I went, just as anything that she posts is something that I need to consider. You know what I mean? Or to look at. And I was really excited to find out that you're also an American. And oh my gosh, there's somebody here that can, if anything, understand how hard, for me anyway, I will tell you, it was very hard during, you know, George Floyd here, because it was a huge denial aspect here, immediately defensiveness. And it was, I was digging for other American, and not just another American, because there's a couple of other Americans are doing really well here in New Zealand, but they're Caucasian. So their Caucasian perspective and saying, oh no, it's great here, was not my reality. And I've talked about it in prior podcasts. It's still a beautiful place, beautiful people, love where I'm living here. This is absolutely home. But there are parts that don't gel with me being a woman of color, and it can be tough. I can only imagine what your perspective has been and what you've gone through. Would just be for me what I would just, you know, it's I can't fully imagine. I'm even stopping my words here because I can't complete the sentence. It can be overwhelming.
It was a very difficult time. And the way I think of it as just, you know, we're already expats, so there's already that layer of being separate from your family. And of course, New Zealand is just way out here in the middle of the ocean, so it does feel really far away sometimes. And then there's another layer of being, you know, kind of not like the other, and your race is different than the people around you. And then there's another layer of being a woman of color. So there's a lot of layers of isolation there. There's a lot of layers of separation. And so in times like the time period of George Floyd being killed, it can amplify, because you don't just have one layer of feeling away from your people. You've got a lot of layers. So yes, it was a challenging time, and again, very inspired by some of the people I have met here in New Zealand that are doing the social justice work. And, you know, I do feel that they are closer than I sometimes feel. And then, of course, you add the layer of coronavirus and us staying at home, it can really be hard to remember that there are people here in this community that that know their stuff, that are doing the work, that are literally changing things in this community. And then, of course, I'm very thankful for the internet and being able to connect with people back home, because that's, you know, that was one of the things that really got me through is actually talking to people and going, wait, am I crazy? Is it, or is it like, you know, really bad? Because I feel really bad. And people around me here in New Zealand don't seem to be feeling as bad as I feel. So, so it was nice to have that check in and have them go, no, yeah, it's really bad. It feels really, unpleasant and horrible to be going through this as a community. So, it's an adventure to be an expat, and it's an adventure to be an expat of color.
Absolutely. And where is back home for you?
Seattle, Washington.
Ah, okay. So you're my West Coast sister.
Hi, everyone in Seattle.
Love that. Oh, no. Yeah. Your state is definitely going through it. Oh my gosh. Yes. And just absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a lot for Washington State and a lot for the West and the Pacific Northwest with the forest fires. And, you know, I'm really thinking of everyone. I'm thinking of my family and my friends. And it's emotional. I think this is why I'm feeling ready to create some new energy and put this year to bed, because what's been hard to remember this year is that we do have a little bit of control in our lives and the choices that we make, and it has felt like a very out of control year. And so I'm looking to bring a little bit of that creation energy back into my life, where I'm making choices that are supporting me. I'm connecting with the people that are supporting me. I'm, you know, looking for ways that I can be connected to home as well as being an expat. So it takes work, but when you have that intention and you have the readiness to make the change, then it's possible.
Absolutely. I think that's I love that. Can you tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, you can absolutely find me on Instagram at Sandra M. Washington. And then my website is just my name, sandrawashington.com. And all of the things that I offer are there. And you can check out what it's like to live in New Zealand and be a part of my wellness community.
Oh, Sandra, thank you so much. There's a lot of great little favorite frames in our conversation, and I think that our listeners are really going to appreciate your voice and your intentions and what you're offering. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Francesca. This was really fun. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. But before you go, I want to include an exclusive free offer for my listeners. I know, as an online business owner and owner of a marketing agency, that planning your social media like Instagram or LinkedIn can be exhausting, or you don't have the time or energy to get this done. Let me take this off your plate. Our wish for you is to make life just a little bit easier. Sign up for our free instant social media monthly content calendar at socialglobalgrind.com. Or you can just go to the show notes and click on the link. Thanks for listening.